following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
SEC Media Day football info is out. And how many quarterbacks are going? It's Tuesday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Yes, welcome in, welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Happy Tuesday, July 14th. Yes, we are already 2 weeks into the month of July. Talking about it last night, feels like we're still in the middle of April or May, yet the fact that it's been almost 2 months, if not nearing 2 months, if not already past 2 months, from when Auburn got done playing baseball. Like, it feels like that was last week, if not 2 weeks ago. Yet here we are talking about SEC Media Day information being released today, as we are 6 days essentially from being live on Digital Drive in Tampa, Florida. We'll get to all of that here in just a little bit, but appreciate everybody for being here with us and spending your time here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. I welcome in my man Tripp Upton, sitting across from me in the studio. Happy, okay, it is Tuesday. On our on our rundown, yeah, it still says Wednesday, July 8th, and as I was reading the rundown, it scared me. No, happy, it is Happy Tuesday. Almost got myself really happy thinking it was Wednesday. No, happy Tuesday. Hopefully all is well in your world. Should be a really, really fun show today.
Oh, 100%. It's great. Happy Tuesday. Again, I agree with you that it would be a little bit happier if we were at Wednesday, because that would mean we are one day closer to Tampa. The only thing I'm sad about, RIP Kristen Griffin. It is now Christian Griffin. We got all of that and the correct numbers and everything. So we appreciate the wizard,
yes,
of producing Mr. Al Mason, who has been able to help with that this week.
Yeah, total hand up, Al. If you are tuned in, if you are listening, thank you for,
yes,
everything that you've done. And I apologize that you've seen more emails from me over the last month than you have ever before. Again, we had to reach out to Mr. Mason to get all of our imaging, all of the intro, the returns, the outro music, everything, a couple of weeks before it officially became our On the Line show. And we thought the text box wasn't going to be an issue whatsoever. Funny enough, that became arguably the biggest issue,
sure,
of everything. I think we spent more time trying to get our text box back, the 1067 number, longer than we spent finding music, because it didn't take us too long.
No.
Once we had an idea of what we were kind of wanting, we wanted the country style vibe, but we wanted a little bit of the new school, the hip hop vibe in there as well. And so hopefully everybody is a fan of that, if you've paid attention to it whatsoever, for the return music, the intro music, everything. You get a little bit of everything, which we were definitely wanting on the show, but had to get everything sent that way. Realized that the text box was deactivated as soon as Jacob tried to make any sort of changes and send it over to my phone. And so it is. It's, again, that new phone number. And how nice is it now that we don't have to sit there and say, actually, don't listen to that number that was read. We do have the correct phone number and the correct text box as well. But hand up to that, because I also realized a couple of days ago I sent the wrong one. I sent the text box as the phone number, and so it had the 1685 as the text box, or as the phone number, but then it still had 1390 now as the text box. And
other way around, but yes.
Yes,
again,
yes, other way around.
It still had the old 1067 number.
Yes, and then had the other, yeah.
Which,
so,
funny enough, I did just look on the app that we use for that. They do have a 1067, but it's number on it finally.
But that's fine. It's not not our one.
It's not ours. No,
I like what we got. And we're not doing that.
No, I like ours better. It's uniquely us.
And it's Auburn. It's OTL, which is how we want it. But we got the updated, corrected because of what Christian wasn't able to figure out. Everything sounds correct, and so
it sounds good. So
yes,
very appreciative.
Very appreciative of Mr. Al Mason for getting this worked out for us. And, should be a very, very fun show. Again, along with that information that we got just about every single piece of information that we could possibly receive in terms of SEC Media Day coverage. I'm sure everybody's seen it by now, but Auburn's players have been announced, as have every SEC teams. And so we get to dive into a lot of that here today, talking about who Auburn's bringing, talking about the other Media Day information, and talking about kind of the time slots that everybody's going, and then a quarterback discussion, because last year set a record for how many quarterbacks attended SEC Media Days with 12. 75% of the teams brought a quarterback to represent their program in the SEC. How many of those this year are making their way to Tampa, Florida? We'll have a conversation on that and how there are a couple key teams that you expected to bring a quarterback that are not bringing a quarterback. And so it should be a really, really fun hour number one before a big baseball discussion in hour number two, because holy cow, the news continues to work its way out of Auburn, Alabama. The step up, the step away from the hitting coach, the step into the athletic, the administration for Mr. Gabe Gross, and a big time name making his way to the Plains, Coach Ammo, which we need to get on the phone lines here to join us sometime coming up very soon. Really excited for everything that he has. We'll be able to talk a lot about that in hour number two. And if you want to be a part of today's program, again, the phone lines are open all afternoon long. If there's anything on your mind, any comments that you have regarding the Auburn's players, regarding any other SEC team's players, again, the phone lines are wide open, 334-321-1390. Any quick hitters, any questions you have for us, the text box is always open as well at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And crazy to think that we are less than a week away from Media Days, SEC Media Days in Tampa, Florida, and we couldn't do it without some really amazing groups.
Yes, next week, ESPN 106.7 heads to Tampa, Florida for SEC Media Days, presented by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn. Join us Monday through Thursday for live coverage on the Digital Drive in Tampa as we prepare to kick off another football season. We got our seating arrangement today. Me and Christian were looking through, seeing, okay, who are we near? Who are we far away from? Who do we want to go talk to? And so we got some cool people around us that we're going to try and bring on throughout the show. And someone that we're actually close to, Doug Amos in the Max Roundtable, he kicks off our 7 hours of local coverage from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. He'll be down there with his crew. We will definitely be talking and hanging out with Mr. Amos. Myself and Christian Griffin will be on the line right here, same time, 2 to 4. We'll be live from Tampa. And then Bill Cameron will close out the day with the drive from 4 to 6 p.m. We will both be appearing on that show. He will be holding it down for us here in Auburn, but we will be on the drive. So make sure to tune into that as well. Throughout the week, we'll bring you the latest headlines, interviews, and storylines around the Tigers, the Tide, and the SEC's biggest talking points entering the 2026 football season. A special thank you again to the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for making our SEC Media Days coverage possible. Tune in all week long for live local coverage from SEC Media Days in Tampa, Florida, right here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. And Christian, now that everything about this week is announced, some Auburn Tigers that will be joining Coach Golich finally revealed less than a week away from when they're going to be down there.
You have the captain, you have the comeback, and you have the corsair. You have the captain in Byron Brown, the comeback story of Alex McPherson, and the corsair, the pirate, Champ Anthony, you talk about three guys that this big word of culture that works its way around every single program, yes, but especially in year one with the Auburn Tigers, that has been something that Alex Golish has talked about, has preached about, needing to establish the culture that, saying it like it is, hasn't been where it's needed to be, especially inside the locker room over the last handful of years. When you're out on the football field and things are going great, right, you never really see any of the issues. But you start to see some of those cracks. You start to see a little bit of the separation and some of the negative mindset, the negative actions when things don't go your way. And I think the perfect example of that, as well, by looking at the fourth quarters over the last handful of years, what was it, 12 of the last 13 one-score games
too many
have gone in favor of the other teams, even when it feels like Auburn has led in half of those. 12 of the last 13 one-score games, Auburn has lost. And again, according to what a bunch of the articles that we've looked at over the past couple of weeks, Auburn's expected to play in 5 or 6 one-score games again this season. So if you want to talk about the word culture needing to be at the forefront of everything with this program, I don't think there's three guys that could fit that persona, that could fit that example of culture any better than, again, Champ Anthony, Byron Brown, and Alex McPherson.
100%. You look at Byron Brown, a guy that has been in this system. He understands the culture that Alex Golish is bringing to the Auburn Tigers, and I think that's such a big value piece in what they're trying to do. You see what Coach Cignetti did at Indiana, where it wasn't that the JMU guys got favoritism. It wasn't that the Indiana guys got favoritism. It was one unit, and that's how they were going to act. Byron Brown is a big part in making sure that this team can stick together and be able to gel instead of it being two teams, yeah, kind of what we saw last season. Again, Champ Anthony, another interesting one. That was probably – I wouldn't say that for the casual commentator, even our opinion – I don't think Champ Anthony would have come to mind in the first players that would be going down there for you. Maybe you think like a Xavier Atkins or somebody, but I definitely think that's the right decision. Having a guy that's been with the program multiple years go and represent this defensive back room that's been so dominant. And then, yeah, Alex McPherson, one of the best stories in college football. A guy that has stuck with Auburn through and through, and Auburn has stuck with him. And as he continues to, again, from going from a guy that did not miss a kick his freshman year to the health issues to bouncing back and struggling and being able to come out a champion, that's someone that you want to say, like, hey, that's what Auburn's all about.
Yeah.
And that is what's going to be great to have him down there representing this program.
I believe Alex is the only special teams unit making his way to SEC Media Days. But
yeah,
regardless of just the Auburn story, I mean, this is so much bigger than Auburn. This is something that, I mean, has been a fight for life. Again, this is not a roster spot. This is not somebody that's, man, I've been struggling as a kicker. I need to find a little bit more accuracy. I need to get a little bit more power. That's never been the issue whatsoever with Alex McPherson. I mean, we literally sat there last year and this time last year when things started going downhill again of, man, this is so much bigger than whatever jersey you put on or whatever number has the back of your jersey. This is a battle for life. And so you talk about being able to overcome all of those obstacles off the football field and still have so much success on the football field, that is a story that is going to be respected by everybody there at SEC Media Days. I mean, he's had, again, the College Game Day type features, and deservingly so, but to have him represent an Auburn team that, again, wants to talk about culture, that wants to talk about the fight that every team has to have, you feel as if Alex McPherson is the perfect spokesperson for somebody like that. And although Champ Anthony may not have been the quote-unquote popularity pick, again, you look at a guy like Xavier Atkins talking about the on-the-field talent, and this is nothing against Xavier whatsoever, but Champ Anthony being one of those Auburn guys through and through that had to deal with a lot of injuries and had to deal with a season-ending injury, yet he's fought back. You talk about, again, a culture leading on some of those captains. Champ Anthony also fits that exact mold. And then Byron Brown being Alex Golish's number one in terms of the quarterback, number one in terms of team captain. We saw how he handled himself at spring practices to where it felt like Alex Golish wasn't even needed in the huddle to get the afternoon or to get the morning started. Obviously he was, and he gave a very fiery speech just about every single day. But after he got done, Alex Golish walked out of the huddle, and it was Byron Brown that led this team to all of their individual drills, all of their individual units. When you have the station one and everybody works its way out onto the field, that was pretty good right there.
That was really good.
But everybody respected, and you saw the demeanor of everybody when Byron Brown started talking. You talk about the captain mentality. I don't think there was any question that Byron Brown was going to be making his way to Tampa, Florida. And how cool is it for Golish and for Byron Brown that you make your way into a new team, into a new league, into new colors, yet before everything gets going, you make your way right back to Tampa, a town that I would say those two know pretty well.
Oh, I'm going to be really interested to see with Alex Golish's media availability and the big group conversation. I'm very curious to see how many Tampa reporters will be there from that cover, yeah, USF, that just are going for the day, and they're going to go hear from Alex Golish and try to ask him questions about that. But yeah, these are all guys that have battled and had something to prove, right? Champ Anthony coming back from injury. I mean, off of that monstrous hit against Arkansas a few years ago, battling back and continuing to be a quality starter. Alex McPherson battling back from unforeseen health issues and still being an elite level. Dude's missed one field goal from inside 40 yards, and he's only missed if you include up to 50 yard field goals, he's only missed three. That's pure production from a kicker. That's exactly what you ask for him, and had 51 yarders but consistently before his injury as well. And then you have Byron Brown, a guy that maybe not had to fight in terms of injury. Yes, he's been injured a time or two, but fighting from the group of five ranks, being, yeah, labeled as, you're just a kid doing well at a small school. Come compete in the SEC.
Yeah, you're not putting these numbers up in big boy leagues.
Yeah, which we've heard from a lot of fan bases, and what they said the same thing about Alex Golish. A guy, oh, he's not going to be able to recruit in the SEC. Doing a pretty good job at that right now, if I might add. But if Byron Brown has that same chip on his shoulder, you can't. I mean, yeah, you got lucky against a bad Florida team. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be a guy that could compete week in and week out in the SEC. I think Byron Brown's got a chip to prove them wrong and can say, no, I actually am one of the best quarterbacks in college football, just like I've proved throughout my entire college career. I'm doing it and making it harder on myself playing against an SEC defense every single weekend. It's going to be a great culture infusion to have those guys front and center.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's three guys that's obviously just based off of those three names being the ones to be voted in. I'd be very interested to see the decision-making process, if that was voted on by the team or if that was Alex Golish and the other coaches' decisions. I would imagine, I mean, it plays a little bit of a role with both of those. But yeah, I mean, was it Friday that we talked about the positions that have the most to prove, not to improve, but the most to prove this year in 2026? And although you feel like the quarterback room may not be the top one, when you look at Byron Brown, he may be, because he's going to be the headline every single time he walks onto the field because of the success. 3,000 yards throwing, 1,000 yards on the ground is something that I believe only 11 players before Byron Brown was ever able to do in a single season. He's going to be the headlines. And so you talk about a guy that has that chip on his shoulder, and he has so much to prove this season. A fantastic get, yes, for the Auburn Tigers. A fantastic job by everybody for selecting these three. Again, we've kind of unofficially nicknamed them the Captain, the Comeback, and the Corsair. The Corsair being a pirate in Champ Anthony, his whole nickname of the Pirates. Oh, I guess that was, I guess I should have explained that. Yeah, his nickname is the Pirates, and a Corsair is a pirate.
Okay, got
so
you. I like that.
The three C's, the Corsair and Champ
Anthony.
Look
at you dusting off the thesaurus, man.
Dustin, it's the way my brain works in like
alliterations
and alliterations and stuff.
Sure.
Oh yeah, I can't tell you, really stupid, and I don't know why sharing this, but I can't tell you the last time that I made like a player in a video game that didn't have like, obviously Christian Griffin doesn't have any alliteration, but like that's how my brain works. And so
really, so like it'd be like oh, this is my new right fielder,
yeah.
You know, Alex.
Alex Anthopoulos, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
but
like stuff interesting. I didn't know that.
That's how my brain works in stupid puns and alliteration. So
I mean, hey, everyone's different.
Yeah, I'm very different, yes. But the Corsair, the Pirate, and Champ Anthony, the Captain, and Byron Brown, and the comeback story with Alex McPherson. The three names that will be alongside Alex Golish on Tuesday in Tampa, Florida. But now we know the time slots when all of these teams will go. We'll break through the entire schedule for SEC Media Days and continue diving into the other teams' players and how many quarterbacks are going to represent the SEC. We'll talk about that as we're just off and running here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute. Presented by Bucks Island. March 1836. An old Spanish mission in San Antonio had become a fortress. Inside, fewer than 200 Texan defenders held their ground. Outside, thousands of soldiers under General Santa Anna surrounded them. For 13 days, the small garrison resisted. Among the defenders were James Bowie and Davy Crockett. When the final assault came before dawn, the defenders were overwhelmed. But their stand became a rallying cry. Remember the Alamo. Weeks later, Texas forces secured independence. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island. Family owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on this Tuesday afternoon. I think I can say a relatively beautiful day now. It wasn't
it was earlier
this afternoon, but it's kind of just come out of nowhere. It rains from 2 to 4. Must be on the line here on ESPN 106.7. But we do appreciate everybody for being here with us. We're breaking down SEC Media Days as we now have just about all of our information in terms of the teams side of things. We will continue to tease a little bit of the guests that we have scheduled for you, the ones that we are still working on getting as well. Those members of Auburn Football and Auburn Athletics will be a part of that list. But a couple of really, really cool guys that we have been in touch with over the last couple of days and again today, making sure that we get you as much as we possibly can and some stuff that relates to Auburn outside of Auburn, relates to a couple of Auburn games. Really, really excited to continue to work with that and get everything going as much as we would like it to, because as much as this is just a media coverage event and doing as much as we can, I think Tripp, I can speak for Tripp, and he has a microphone and he can tell me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
But this is also about pride and making sure that we do a good job. Not only us on the air, but as individuals, but then as well to bring to hold the responsibility of bringing really good game day coverage and bringing week-long coverage in Tampa. I mean, hopefully those that are everyday listeners got to see a little bit of that for the Auburn Regional. That was worked really hard to get stuff like that. And so we take a lot of pride in what we do. This is the furthest thing from a clock-in, clock-out radio show, and so really excited to continue to bring everything that we have going.
Oh yeah, you know, I'm excited. You know, we're going to give you the best coverage on Digital Drive. I can guarantee you that right now. We're going to give you the best Auburn coverage in anyone going to be down there for Media Days, and you know, and if we're not, then we're going to give our effort to do that. You know, and again, you said the regional is a great example of what we can do, and you know, I gave myself carpal tunnel that day from doing all the research that y'all talked about. Like, I literally the next day I was like, why does my hand like real or why is my elbow really
sore? I got it
really
from typing
sore?
To talk with all the SIDs, but again, shouting out to that for all the coaches that we got to talk
yes.
with before the Auburn regional.
Yeah, and you know, also being able to hear from our media compatriots in that area where it's like, oh, you cover the LSU Tigers? Hey, we play LSU this year. Why don't you come preview that for 5 to 10 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
We've already got stuff planned out that even I know that you don't know about that I've gotten reached out about. And so really excited again for some really cool guys to be able to join the show, some cool ladies as well. Which
turn up.
We will be able to, very excited about that for some reason. More than, why aren't you excited to talk to the guys?
I'm excited to talk to everybody. I mean, it's going to be the grossest, or not the grossest, like the king, kid in the candy store. Like, that's going to be that's my mindset going in. Like, I've never.
Your main goal is to not fangirl over whoever comes
problem.
And sits next to us in the chair.
Alex Golish sits down. Hey, coach. That's kind of what my goal is, and act like a professional. I just got my business cards made, and so I might have to keep those on me to remind myself, like, hey, you are an adult. You're not just like coming down here as a college kid to be like, stuff like you were in my dynasty. I got you in the transfer portal. Like, no, but no, I'm excited, and we're going to have some good stuff, and there's so much opportunity there, and especially with the players and the coaches and the schedule, it's looking like it's going to be a packed week of stuff. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, it definitely is, and the schedule really favors Auburn this year because, again, you have Monday, which ends up being, and you feel kind of bad for the Monday teams. Not that there's not stuff to talk about. Again, Monday is going to be Missouri and Oklahoma in the morning slate, which we just found out, Kentucky and Tennessee in the afternoon slate. But a lot of Monday is dictated and controlled by the words of Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, just because, again, last year it was an hour and a half that he sat at the podium and talked about just about everything, to where, holy cow, you could have had an eight-hour show and broken down every single word that he talked about. And so Monday is a lot of that, and some of the other main people that go up and speak on Mondays. Again, we'll be able to do a little bit of breakdown. But Monday, you only see one team this year for the Auburn Tigers. Is Tennessee. You don't see Missouri, Oklahoma, or Kentucky. You have Tuesday. You get to Tuesday, and that Auburn is the morning slate, going with Georgia, and then the afternoon slate is South Carolina and Vanderbilt, and then Wednesday and Thursday, you play 6 of the 8 teams that are going on those 2 days. And so a fantastic draw for the Auburn Tigers in terms of what we plan to do with our coverage. Should be a whole lot of fun.
No, I'm excited, and there's going to be so much to learn. If you tuning into On the Line next week from 2 to 4 or afterwards in the podcast section, you're going to be the most informed person in Auburn when it comes to what's going on in Tampa, Florida.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about some of the other players that are going with some of the other SEC teams and how there's not as many quarterbacks as years past.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Minutes in here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And continuing to break down the SEC Media Day coverage that was all released here this morning, all of the players being announced, how you got to see Auburn's 3 names of Champ Anthony, Byron Brown, and Alex McPherson be named the 3 leaders making their way to Tampa, Florida with Alex Golish. Some of the other information in there as well, finding out that Auburn goes with Georgia on Tuesday morning. So that is going to be really, really exciting. Speaking of Georgia, got a text in the On the Line text box, which you can always be a part of as well, at 334-784-1685, asking about Jordan Hill. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked with Jordan. He's been on vacation the last couple of weeks, but I believe we do have him tomorrow, and then we will be able to talk with him live in Tampa on Wednesday. But yes, our regularly scheduled 2:30 guest on Wednesday will be back here on the phone lines and should be good to go the remainder of the summer and into the fall. And excited to be able to continue that friendship again, being able to meet with him multiple times, getting to, I think, officially meet him for the very first time in Media Days last year, and then got to spend a little bit of time with him when he made his way to Auburn to cover the Auburn-Georgia game last year. Unfortunately, I don't really remember the end result from that, and just slipping my mind for some reason. Tried to think of a pun, but it wasn't going to work. But yes, we do have our guy Jordan Hill coming back here with us again this week, and then starting again with us at SEC Media Days, where he'll be able to join us with the headset sitting right next to us. But we mentioned it. Auburn goes Tuesday morning with Georgia. You then have South Carolina and Vanderbilt in the afternoon. The Wednesday morning slate is going to be a real fun one. Alabama and Florida from 9 a.m. to 12:40. And then Ole Miss and Texas A&M in the afternoon. What I would have given for Ole Miss and LSU. Actually,
they would have won. There is no way that they would do that, because they know the amount of just vitriol.
And I take it back, because I don't know if I want them to go at the same time. Maybe the same day, but not the same time, because you don't want to have to split that drama up.
I want every single reporter from the entire state of Mississippi, frankly, outside of maybe Starkville. Actually, they might have some funny stuff too, to be in that meeting room. And I don't want a single person from the states of Louisiana or any other SEC states to ask Lane Kiffin questions. I want it to just be Mississippi reporters.
Why not?
It made for great
television.
He's
been the one to create the drama over the last couple of years. It's time to return the favor.
It's time for the SEC to fight back.
To say, you know what? The turns have tabled here this afternoon. Ole Miss guys, go ahead. Fire away with any questions that you got, and see how many sarcastic answers that LSU and Lane Kiffin can give. And I am very interested
to see. Lane would just walk off.
He probably would. I am very interested, though, to see, because Lane Kiffin's always been one of the most talked about storylines throughout the SEC, just in terms of the regular season and Twitter and social media after wins, after losses, whatever the case may be. But SEC Media Days, he hasn't been overly outspoken. He's thrown his couple of jabs, but in a weird way, it was almost underwhelming in terms of what he's given. And so interested to see if LSU and the new job has brought that back out of him, or if LSU, when they made that job, was like, okay, you're done doing that. This isn't Ole Miss anymore, buddy. This is the LSU Tigers. This is, welcome to the big leagues, bro. This is no double-A baseball.
Welcome to the show.
Name the famous call with that on there.
Which one? Welcome to the show?
Yeah.
I was referencing the Candidates movie with Will Ferrell.
Okay.
He's like, they're doing the debate and he leans out. I can't say the full quote because FCC. Welcome to the bleeping show.
That's do you know the Jim Carrey? Not the Jim Carrey.
Harry Carrey?
Or was it?
Jim Carrey is the actor.
Yeah, no, that is Chip Carrey.
Chip Carrey,
Yes. The call that he has. Do you know who it was? Being a Braves fan, you got
to
know.
Welcome to the show. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? It's not Ronald, is it?
It's not.
Is it Vaughn Grissom?
It is. It is also not Vaughn Grissom. Hold on.
Again, my brain was in movie mode right there.
Hold on. Let's see if I can get it. Hold on.
I'm looking.
Oh, I can't play the ad. Oh no.
Hold on.
La, la, la,
hold
la,
on.
La.
Hold on. Is it? I have it pulled up. Jason Hayward. That's awesome.
Jason Hayward's first home run in Atlanta.
Yeah.
3-run homer into the bullpen. Oh.
Sure.
I just made Caleb Robertson up in Boston, Massachusetts, let out a little happy cry right there.
Yeah, I mean, I was also 7 when he was.
Holy
at
cow!
When
oh,
he was
that's
at,
not fair. I was at the game.
I was 7 years old when he debuted in 2010.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
and I still remember 16. Again hearing that call, like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Baseball,
man. We will get to that here momentarily, probably in hour number two, talking about home runs. I mean, it's kind of cool. We'll be able to talk a little bit more about home runs and home runs from the state of Georgia, which, why not?
Home run hires.
Got a text in the On the Line text box and said, I still don't think there's anybody that stood further away from the plate than Jason Heyward. And I 100% agree with that. I don't think...
He was not getting jammed inside.
I have absolutely no idea how the outside half of the plate was covered. I know he had the longest arms ever, but that man stood back foot sliders turned into middle sliders for the way that he stood in the batter's box. But again, we'll get to that here in a little bit. But how nice is it that welcome to the show is what stands in my mind is Jason Heyward's first home run with the Braves. And what a fantastic call that was. Oh, gosh, where were we?
We were talking about looking
Lane
at
Kiffin being
Lane Kiffin,
LSU.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Jason Heyward, LSU, make the connection right there. And then, again, Thursday in the morning is Arkansas and LSU, and then Mississippi State and Texas to wrap everything up on Thursday afternoon. But the conversation that we wanted to get into here this afternoon and at this segment was looking at all of the players that are making their way to Tampa, Florida, and how there's a lot of names that obviously, if you pay attention to SEC football, you're going to know. You're going to know guys like Gunnar Stockton. You're going to know guys like John Mateer. You're going to know guys like Kiwan Lacy. You're going to know guys like Trinidad Chambliss. You're going to know guys like an Arch Manning. I hope that you know that name by now. A Marcel Reed. Yet, there's a stats that stands out to me, at least when I was looking at all of these teams, and how it's a little bit lower than last year. Granted, from 1989 to 2010, only two players were allowed to attend per team. So it was the coach and two players rather than three. Starting in 2010, you made it three players, and it's been three players ever since. Yet last year was the record-setting number of quarterbacks where 12 of the 16 teams brought their quarterback, which showed you how dominant, how deep the SEC quarterback rooms were. Last year, or 2 years ago, apologies, in 2024, 11 quarterbacks attended. This year, I say quote-unquote only because it's still above half, but it's only nine. Only nine quarterbacks are attending with their school. Those names are Byron Brown at Auburn, Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, Kenny Minchie at Kentucky, Trinidad Chambliss at Ole Miss, Kamario Taylor at Mississippi State, John Mateer for Oklahoma, Lenora Sellers with South Carolina, Arch Manning with Texas, and Marcel Reed with Texas A&M. All pretty big names, other than maybe Minchie, who it will make his way into the league, but I'd be willing to say that a majority of SEC fans know 90% of those names. But then it also stands out of the teams who are not bringing quarterbacks. The teams of Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and LSU. And you feel like for a couple of those teams, they have figured out their quarterbacks. A couple of them, you understand why they may not have been picked quite yet because of the summer camps that they want to go through before officially naming a QB1. But your thoughts when you see the list of quarterbacks that are attending or the list of quarterbacks or list of teams that do not have their quarterback attending?
I think for most of the quarterbacks, or the teams bringing a quarterback, it makes sense, right? Looking at Georgia, Gunnar Stockton's been there. He's the guy when it comes to Georgia. Drew Bobo as well, Auburn High School alum. So local-ish boy, I know that was because his dad was employed by the university and now has moved over to Athens. That's more of why he was here. But again, point stands. And then Trinidad Chambliss, another guy that's been around. Kamario Taylor, a guy that's been around as well. John Mateer, Lenora Sellers, Marcel Reed, and Arch Manning, all with starts and returning quarterbacks. The only two new quarterbacks are Byron Brown, transferring over from USF, and Kenny Minchie transferring over for Notre Dame. Maybe he wants to actually play in bowl games at Kentucky. looking at some of these schools that you mentioned, like Alabama, is it Austin Mack? Is it Keelan Russell? They're still trying to figure that out. And honestly, if I had to take a look at the schedule, but I would not be surprised if that decision is not official till week three of the season when they play Florida State. They if they have some games that they can afford to play a non, again, have like a quarterback roulette or just like, hey, one guy gets one start, one guy gets the other.
You don't have too much time. You have East Carolina on September 5th. That's the 11 a.m. kick. And then you go to Kentucky. So you talk about a school, Kentucky's win total is only 4.5. And so you mentioned Minchie going to Kentucky instead of Notre Dame to play in a bowl game. They'd have to win basically two more games than they're quote-unquote projected to. I guess one more if you are expecting them to take the over. But sure, to get to 6-6 with Will Stein in year one would be a very impressive slate to do so.
Yeah, it was more of a Notre Dame dig,
right,
to be quite honest with you.
No, very
sorry,
much
Brandon.
So, yeah. No, don't apologize to Brandon. Join a conference, nerd.
Well, you don't know whether
it's Black Ops.
You don't know if it's going to be Austin Mack or Keelan Russell. I think all Alabama fan wants it to be Keelan Russell. That dude turns into a menace in college football, 27, 26, once he's the full-time starter, or if he transfers, he's won like back-to-back Heismans in mine. Arkansas, another one. You're still trying to figure out who the quarterback is there. Florida, it's probably Aaron Filo, but I think that makes more sense with Vernell Brown and Jaden Ball for those, and you're not going to bring three offensive players there.
Is there anybody that brought – I don't believe they would, because I feel like that would be kind of ill will to do that.
To bring three of the same position. You look while I look through the teams that also didn't. Missouri, another one. That one's,
there are not.
Yeah, that one surprises me in the idea of, hey, it's a – you kind of know that Austin Simmons is going to be the starter there, but I think that it's the transfer.
Sure.
Which – other schools have not minded, but that could be an interesting storyline to watch if they are, if Elijah Drinkwitz is 100% satisfied with Simmons at QB1. Tennessee, you don't know who it's going to be. You're not going to bring a young freshman. Same thing for Vanderbilt. You're not going to bring a freshman in Jared Curtis. But then LSU, one that I have been a little bit more reluctant on Sam Levitt, and I heard Ben Taylor talking about it this morning on the Max Roundtable with Doug Amos. Is that a sign that maybe LSU isn't as confident as LSU fans are for Mr. Levitt? Because you think that he would be in there. Like, they only bring one offensive player. They bring in Whit Weeks, which, I mean, you're always going to bring your daughter's boyfriend to media days.
Get a
free vacation for Landry. Get her to the beaches at Sarasota and St. Pete. I'm sure that is the reasonel behind why he's going. But he's also a really good player and a team captain and leader. TJ Dotary and Tre'Davious Green, a tight end, the only tight end going.
Who is fantastic, by the way.
Right.
He's so good.
Maybe you bring Levitt instead of a Dotary or a Weeks. I don't really know, but I think that maybe they don't feel comfortable bringing him in front of media. Again, I don't know. I'm more looking into it for the idea that maybe there could be something there, or it's just a Lane Kiffin being Lane Kiffin.
We did get a text in the on-the-line text box calling you out, saying that you were wrong by saying that the next round guys up in Birmingham say that it doesn't matter if it's Keelon Russell or Austin Mack, because both are better than Byron Brown, so it really doesn't matter.
Oh, I mean, look,
who starts.
The known champions of Auburn, the next round live, for believing that both are better than Byron Brown. If only there was a way we could, see these guys on the field. There's a way that look back and watch Austin Mack play against anybody, or if Keelan Russell can play against anybody of note. It's almost Byron Brown's never played an SEC environment and never won in an SEC environment, as far as the folks up in Birmingham are concerned. I know that much.
The teams that are not bringing quarterbacks before we get to break again, that is Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. Only 9 of the 16 teams bringing a quarterback, comparable to last year's 12 quarterbacks. And so does that mean the quarterback room may not be as deep in the SEC, may not be as talented? Or again, there's a little bit more question marks, you feel like, looking at some of the big names for some of the teams that are not bringing quarterbacks? It still sounds weird to say, but Ryan Coleman-Williams, again, the receiver from Alabama, making his way.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. I mean, he's good with the media. Bray Hubbard, Xavier Brown. I think those are the three most deserving players if you weren't going to bring a quarterback. So I don't mind that, truthfully. I'm not Caleb DeBoer. I don't make the decision, so I don't know why I'm giving my opinion necessarily, but that's kind of what I get paid to do. I think that's fine.
We have For Arkansas, I think there's a lot of question marks. Sutton Smith, probably the name that most people will know just based off of that running back position. Jaden Ball for Florida, as well as Vernell Brown. Those are two highlight tape type guys for John Sumrall. You mentioned Tre'Davious Green and Whit Weeks for LSU. Those two guys, and again, T.J. Dottery in there as well. You have Nicholas Rodriguez for Missouri, the linebacker, as well as Jamal Roberts. I'm surprised it's Roberts and not Ahmad Hardy.
Well, I'm sure that could be because Ahmad Hardy is recovering from getting shot. But that's sure. Like, not saying that to be hyperbolic or a joke. That is a legitimate reason. Yeah. They don't know if he's going to play this year. So if he can't play, then they're not going to trot him out there to talk to the media.
Yeah.
I think that's more of the idea, and that Roberts can bring the essence of the running back room that is so important to Missouri there.
Yeah, you have Tennessee, Deshaun Billup, and Arian Carter, probably the most popular names going for the Volunteers. And then Vanderbilt, Cedric Alexander, Junior Shirell. Those are really solid players in there as well. But again, the quarterback numbers were what stood out to me, and got a text again in the on-the-line text box, which you can always be a part of as well at 334-784-1OTL, 334-784-1685. Appreciate everybody for being a part of it here this afternoon, talking about a reminder that nobody even had Chambliss as a projected starter entering last season, and Jackson Arnold was the 12th SEC quarterback, one spot ahead of Ty Simpson. And so for anybody that talks about, oh, this guy is going to be so much better than this guy, especially at the first year schools, nobody really knows. It's our favorites.
Yeah.
That's why we love preseason rankings, because it means absolutely everything. It's concreted in and it can't be changed.
Yeah, preseason rankings 100% correct all the time. The media notorious to know what they're talking about.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up this conversation, wrap up hour number one before we get into some baseball talk in hour number two. But we'll wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Wrapping up hour one, wrapping up the SEC Media Day conversation, which we know we'll dive into a little bit more throughout the week. And kind of just the overall discussions of all of the information that was released in terms of Auburn players being announced, all of the other SEC players being announced, and also the time slots of where every team is being announced and their SEC Media Day window. Again, Auburn will be the Tuesday morning slots, which makes things really, really fun for us, because usually there is a coach that afternoon that we can either tap live into, or we have to almost just get kind of the notes as everything goes live because of our show, obviously, from 2 to 4 or 3 to 5 Eastern time.
I know that's been the weird part. Like,
it's
scheduling
very,
emails.
Yes, the emails of, yeah, we're good at 3 o'clock. Oh crap! No, sorry, we're good at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Yeah, it's a weird dilemma, weird dynamic. But
yes, when I had to schedule an interview this morning with someone that has an impact on Auburn's first game, I'm not gonna go more in depth than that. He's like, yeah, we're wide open. I'm like, yeah, we run from 3 to 5, and I almost wanted to put 2 to 4 our time as well, but I was like, he doesn't care. Like, they're only worried about their time.
I did get confirmation, by the way, because over the break you asked about, do we vote on quarterbacks? And it's yes, you vote on quarterbacks, you vote on almost all the position rankings, who's going to win the SEC, and it's a running joke that you will figure out. Our buddy Lance Daw, of Locked On Kentucky, every single year he votes for Tennessee or for Vanderbilt to win the SEC. And the last couple of years, he's been the only one to vote Tennessee. Gosh dang it, Vanderbilt. And it's very, very funny. Hour number one in the books. We'll come back, talk baseball in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The back 40, the War Eagle Wall, make way. You got some souvenirs coming your way.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one of the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on this Tuesday afternoon. Oh, what an hour number one.
Yeah.
No, I almost said something and realized my mic was on and almost let out like a big scream just for no reason out of excitement, because it has been a very fun day. But literally as I was bringing the microphone closer, I realized that the red button was on, and I figured that would probably not be the best way to do that, but maybe that just represents the excitement that I have here this afternoon, because it is a fantastic Tuesday afternoon, and we hope everybody else is doing well here as we hit 3 o'clock on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin, having a fun time in the studio. We had so much to dive into in hour number one, just about all of the SEC Media Day information in terms of what had been missing, has been released, has been announced. You've seen it from the Auburn side of things. I'm sure you've seen it from some of the other schools as well, of the three players that their head coaches respectively are bringing to Tampa, Florida. And for the Auburn Tigers, it's Champ Anthony, Byron Brown, and Alex McPherson. We talked about those three names in hour number one, and how I don't know if there's a better group of guys to represent the Auburn program, and especially what Alex Golish is wanting to bring and wanting to develop off the field in the locker room, and let that work its way to the end result on the field come September. We talked about that. We also talked about the slates being announced, as well as Auburn has been announced. We knew it was Tuesday, but didn't know exactly what time. We now know it is Tuesday morning, and that is absolutely perfect for us, as we will be able to cover all of that in terms of everything that we need to know, that you need to know, that we will tell you that you need to know. We've also scheduled a very fun interview for that Tuesday afternoon as well that sets up end results for Auburn's first home game.
Sure.
I will say it with that, if you're picking up what I am putting down. The first non-Jordan-Hare Stadium home game. But some information on that we'll continue to tease throughout the week. Also talked about some of the other names that are making their way to Tampa from the other schools, and how it feels as if it is a very low number of quarterbacks making their way representing their programs. It's still nine of the 16, so by no means is it three or four. I think that would be even more concerning if it got to a spot like that, yet it's not 12. It's not 11 like it was a couple of years ago. A little bit more question marks in the quarterback room just throughout the SEC, but some of the big-time names that are making their way to Tampa, again, that will be the gunslingers for each team, and how there are certain teams that we feel like should bring a quarterback that maybe are not, whether that's from the media perspective or maybe that's just from the overall captain perspective. A really fun hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at the Podcast Center over at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we shift focus to the diamond with the latest coaching news coming out about the Auburn Tigers. With not only a vacancy in the Auburn Tigers assistant coaching ranks for the baseball team, it's already filled, and filled some and even more, because it is a 100% a potential for success for this.
Some would call it a home run hire.
Some would call them that, yeah. So we'll be talking all about that, our thoughts, as well as hearing about the Home Run Derby, a event that was last night for sure, and one that the home crowd, not very nice. There, we'll talk.
You wouldn't expect anything different.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be a lot nicer tonight when, you know, all of the Braves players that are starting in the National League, you know, when they get their name announced, I'm sure it'll be a lot of cheers.
City of brotherly love for sure. And then, but if you want to be a part of the show, phone lines wide open once again as well. 334-321-1390. Give us a call. Give your opinion reacting to anything we talk about in hour number one, any of your thoughts on what we're talking about in hour number two, or anything thoughts you have in general about what's going on. The text box as well, always open at 334-784-1685. And Christian, as we go throughout the show today, we've talked about it all in hour number one. We continue every minute, every second, every moment closer to SEC Media Days in Tampa.
Yeah, we do. And as we wrap up again that SEC Media Day, the conversation here this afternoon, we would like to give our thanks once again because next week ESPN 106.7 heads out to Tampa, Florida for SEC Media Days, and it's all presented by the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn. You can join us Monday through Thursday for live coverage from Digital Drive as we prepare for another year of college football. Our 7 hours of local coverage each weekday begins with Doug Amos and the Max Roundtable from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then right here, 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7, myself and Trip Upton bring you On the Line. And then Bill Cameron closes out the day with The Drive from 4 to 6. And throughout the week, we will bring you every single storyline, every single talking point, everything you need to know about the Tigers, about the Alabama Crimson Tide, and every single team in the SEC. Again, a big special thank you to the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for making our SEC Media Day coverage possible. Tune in as you do every single day regardless, but even more so starting next week, Monday through Thursday, for live local coverage of SEC Media Days in Tampa, Florida, right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. But we got some baseball news that we need to get to here this afternoon. We have a coach stepping away, but taking a new role, not leaving the program, which I think is a big time get just as much as it is anything else of bringing in somebody new. The ability to keep Gabe Gross with the program, with the administration, and move him into a little bit more of the administration of athletics role. Again, we'll dive into a little bit more of that as we go. But I think that is just as big of a win because it's somebody, man, that absolutely loves the Auburn program. It's somebody that has had a great deal of success here with the Tigers. And so the ability of still having him as a recruiter, as an ambassador, as somebody that's around the program each and every day is such a benefit for the Auburn Tigers. And with that said, the excitement continuing to grow on the offensive side. It sounds weird, but in the box, in the batter's box, just because of the hit and miss that you feel like the Auburn Tigers went through, no pun intended, at the plate over the last handful of years. At times, you felt as if there were some frustrations. And a name that you heard a little bit about halfway sarcastically, halfway jokingly, you didn't necessarily think it was going to work its way into fruition. And you woke up this morning with the big-time news of Coach Ammo making his way to the Plains. I'm sure we'll dive into that, but a phone call here to get us started here in hour number two.
Yes, we'll definitely be diving into what's happening with the staffing changes with the Auburn Tigers. But we head to the phone lines, which are going to be wide open the rest of the show today as well. 334-321-1390. And John in Auburn, my friend, you are on the line. How are you doing this beautiful Tuesday afternoon?
Hey, happy Tuesday, guys. Had a question. Sorry. I mean, great news there in Auburn baseball, but just had a comment about SEC Media Day and just kind of media narratives in general.
Yeah,
you guys do a great job, kind of keeping it between the navigational buoys. But there's some folks from other parts of this state and other parts of this conference that, I mean, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe sometimes, waking up with some of these takes.
Yeah,
and I saw one today that Dan Lanning wakes up every morning or goes to bed every night and checks to be sure that Kalen DeBoer is not under his bed because he's in such fear of him. I mean, that's literally a take from across the state.
Wow,
really?
And really, really, because of DeBoer's success against top-name coaches in the country, which, fine by me, keep him in Tuscaloosa. Hey, but no, just I wanted to throw this out here because I really think this is going to be a narrative that you hear over the next, let's say we're 7 weeks away from the season.
Mm-hmm.
Over the next maybe 10 weeks, I think you'll hear this narrative. UNLV opens up the season against a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah.
I think Jackson Arnold, especially in a Mullen offense, is going to feast. And I don't want it to be a thing where you see a bunch of news conferences week 1, 2, and 3 with a new head coach in Golish here at Auburn, and all you hear is, oh, Golish picked the wrong quarterback, mm-hmm. you know. Byram only had 2 touchdowns against Baylor.
Yeah.
We won, but we kept the wrong quarterback because this kid had 550 yards against, you know, Incarnate Word or somebody. And just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Definitely, yeah. Appreciate you for reaching out. I know it's been a little bit, but good to hear from you. And I 100% agree, and I think Jackson Arnold's going to have a fantastic year, and the media is going to do what the media is going to do. I mean, you mentioned the takes that anybody that has a microphone can give, and you say outlandish things that are outlandish enough, and it's going to get the clicks just because it's that outlandish. But right now, Auburn's at a spot of vulnerability in terms of national media where it's a very easy laughing stock, and so anything they can do to get the clicks, of whether that's Golish picking the wrong guy or look at what Hugh Freeze was not able to do with Jackson Arnold or combining the two, I think it's a very easy narrative and probably a very true narrative that you will hear just because of what Jackson Arnold is going to be able to do at UNLV. And so any bone that they can pick, they'll happily do so.
And I don't know how this works. Maybe you guys are more into this world than I am. I don't know. Maybe Auburn should be a little more selective in who they allow media credentials to for midweek pressers. Just a thought. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. John, appreciate you for calling and again, bringing up those thoughts.
I'd love to also mention my thoughts on the UNLV thing that John mentioned with Jackson Arnold, where just the looking at this schedule to start out the season, they got to play a Memphis team that's rebuilding. Ryan Huff is a good coach. And Charles Huff, I believe, is his name. Ryan Huff was my econ teacher in high school. But Charles Huff,
I think it's the same guy. Heck of a promotion for him.
Sure, yeah. But no, he's the head coach now at Memphis. That's going to be such a good game. And he's a guy that can build a program very, very quickly. So maybe there's some opportunity there for Arnold to play well, but they also could not play a Hawaii, a younger program, but it's an offensive-minded program with their head coach, is it Timmy Chang is the head coach there still? The former quarterback. That's going to be a complete offensive.
Is Micah Alejado still the quarterback at Hawaii? I believe he is.
I believe he is. CFB ultimate team legend right
yes,
there.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so that'll be a shootout.
He won Mountain West Freshman of the Year with 24 passing touchdowns last season.
Yeah, so that'll be an offensive matchup. And then North Texas, a team that lost their head coach. It'll be interesting to see how they rebuild. Akron, another up-and-down team. But I think that Jackson is good. I don't think the narrative of last what the media is going to portray is that Auburn fumbled all this talent and didn't know what good they had.
Yeah. As soon as Cam Coleman catches his first touchdown pass and Jackson Arnold has a 280 passing yard, 120 yard rushing game, they're going to do it.
And then Ashton Daniels goes into Tuscaloosa and beats Alabama in week 3. I would be totally cool with eating crow on that. But look, I think that the problem was not that Auburn was not talented last season. People can say that Auburn fumbled the talent, and I think they did, but Auburn fans knew how talented Cam Coleman was. They knew that what Jackson Arnold could be in the right system. The problem was the head coach and the inability to scheme and inability to play his guys the best way he could. It was, all right, Cam Coleman, you're a big body wide receiver. You're going to turn into just a speed guy, and we're only going to let you run 2 or 3 routes instead of being a guy that could come back to the football and make a play.
You ready? Hey, 6-yard curl.
Yes. Hey, Eric Singleton, we know that you are a guy that has great straight line speed, and if you can get the ball in your hands, you can do everything. We'll give you a jet sweep a game, but are you willing and able to run my curl routes and my kind of complex choice routes? Preston Howard, you can't catch. Do you want the football? Like, it was, and Jackson Arnold, hey, we know that you are a guy that can run the football well, and that sets up a good passing game. drop back 45 times and have to make complex throws with an offensive line that can't block necessarily last season, it's no wonder that they didn't win. It's not that they weren't talented. It's the system was bad.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to see, and that's what the media is going to try and tell you, that Auburn didn't know what they had. We knew what we had. It was that they had a bad head coach. That's going to be the only difference between these guys this year that are going to go play and succeed. And I hope they do succeed, as long as it doesn't come at the expense of Auburn. But it's not Auburn's fans' fault. It's the Auburn coach's fault.
It sounds easier said than done, especially because we live in a social media type of world. Not that I have to go and tell anybody that, but just don't give into it. Don't buy
take
into
the bait.
Don't buy into the, as the kids call it, the rage bait of
sure
of whatever gets announced. Again, the Dan Lanning being scared of Kalen DeBoer,
which I will say, hand up, Kalen DeBoer is 3-0 against Dan Lanning.
Sure,
but
I am perfectly confident to share with the crowd and bring to show and tell that Dan Lanning is perfectly fine in Eugene, Oregon. I think he is quite happy, actually,
well,
wearing the green and gold.
Look, if those same Bama, the same people on the other side of the state that reported that, you know, that said this, I guarantee if we go back to late 2022, early or 2023, it was the conversation of, man, I cannot believe that Greg Bryan and this Alabama administration missed on Dan Lanning, let him leave the building.
Yeah.
But now he's scared of the guy you have now. That doesn't make any sense, because if you had Dan Lanning, we wouldn't be talking about Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah. Again, just shows the difference of the way that the media can twist things. And John, I do greatly appreciate the compliment.
Yes.
Of
we tell it like it is and hold nothing back.
But we do that. That being said, at the end of the day, we claim to be halfway professional, and as much as we are Auburn media, and this is kind of the persuasion I'm using with SEC Media Days, individuals that may not have the Auburn logo that we're trying to talk with throughout the week, of as much as we are Auburn media, man, I'm a college football fan.
Same.
I know the people listening are college football fans, and they just want college football news, and they want legitimate, they don't want the drama of things like that. But man, just let somebody have a legitimate discussion with a college football fan. And
yeah,
the ability for us to, yes, tell it like it is and hold nothing back, but to also understand the, not even the middle ground, because I know that that's not what you want to hear. That's not what gets the clicks. That's not what gets the views. But understanding that, how do I want to go about saying this? There's certain ways of the media going about their business, and there are some very select people that ruin what we do based off of trying to get certain information out of individuals.
Yeah, look, I mean, we I think you would agree, we pride ourselves, and we are, you know, I don't want to sound like what Dan Patrick was talking about with the WNBA commissioner. I don't know if you saw any of that this week. Basically, she agreed to an interview and then didn't show up, and they said, oh, the PR team told me I couldn't. And it's like, then it cuts to her, and she's at some charity golf tournament. Like, that's where they're doing the show from. She's hitting shots out of the bunker.
Nice.
And it's like, you want...
Were they quality shots?
I don't know. I'm not the person to ask. But no, I mean, it's just that
what
we want
pass
to... I know, beautiful. Spain scores, make it 2-0. We want to be able to be a platform and talk about stuff, not only from the, yes, an Auburn mindset. We both are Auburn alumni. I mean, I think that's very clear in some of the opinions we have. But if Alabama does something good, we're college football fans enough to be able to say, this is what's happening, this is what's real, and not being just a, we're going to stick to one side because it gives us the most room to scream back at everybody else. We're going to be we try and be the people that are just going to, it's going to make the most sense. It's going to be maybe not the rightest, but it's going to be the most informed opinion.
John, appreciate you for,
yes,
for calling in. And again, given those thoughts, it's a fantastic talking point that I do think will control the narrative for quite some time. But the message to Auburn fans, just don't buy into it. I don't think that there's too many people that want legitimate failure or anything negative from Cam Coleman, from Jackson Arnold, from Perry Thompson, from Malcolm Simmons, anybody like that, because there's still such a connection there. And thankfully, you don't have to see many of those guys that chose to wear a different uniform. That being said, if there is success one way, it does not mean there can't be success in a different way. Two things can be true at the exact same time, and maybe the change of coaching and maybe the change of scenery for Auburn and for those guys can be the correct way of going about it when everything is said and done.
I mean, heck, I would love to play Cam Coleman at Texas, because that either means that Auburn is made the SEC championship game or Auburn is playing in the playoff, because that's the only way you get another SEC game. I'd love for that to happen, personally.
If that became the worst problem, then we would handle that with a smile on our face. We will take a break. We'll come back, and I promise we will flip over to the baseball side of things. But a perfect example of how the show is wide open, four phone calls, four texts from you. If you'd like to be a part of today's show, feel free to do so. 334-321-1390. Give us a call or send us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1685. We'll flip over to the baseball diamond, we think, right after this, to talk about the coaching change, the coaching brought in, and how there's a whole lot of excitement beyond the outfield wall. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Having a really fun time here in the studio. A lot of engagement, a lot of activity in the text box and the phone lines as well. And that's where we go here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Terry, my friend, you're on the line. Hope all is well in your world.
Doing well, Chris. How about you, man?
Yes, sir.
How are you
doing? Man, we're doing good. We're having a good time.
Hey, Chris, I heard your sarcastic reference to the Braves announcement night in Philadelphia, the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Didn't they boo Santa Claus?
I think
they threw snowballs at him.
I think they boo anybody that brings joy into their world.
Well, they booed last night, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. Were you a fan of the format? Did you watch it?
To a degree. I kind of – it's just still too long for me.
Sure, that's very fair. Yeah, sure. I feel that. You know. But, man, I was locked in. I was very, very proud of – what the MLB did in the different formats. And so, again, just being able to be a part of it, and other than the Netflix side of things.
I expected a better showing from Bryce Harper, quite honestly.
I did as well.
Yeah.
I did, especially for all of the theatrics and everything, and for the been there, done that kind of guy, right? I mean, you feel like he, again, when he won it, when he was in Washington, he's done it in front of his hometown crowd before. And so, again, I guess just the different format puts a little bit more pressure, but safe to say Jordan Walker didn't feel any of that pressure.
Yeah, well, the fans in Philadelphia are going to boo anybody. You'll boo Santa Claus, you'll boo anybody, let's
yes,
be honest.
Yes, exactly.
Take care, guys.
Yes, sir. Y'all as well. And what a perfect segue into Major League Baseball from college baseball, because we'll take a little bit of an early break here. Because, again, we want to continue diving into the Auburn baseball side of things and how home runs in the home run derby transform to home runs for the Georgia, the Auburn Tigers. Because Coach Ammo makes his way to the plains. I know so many people are very, very excited about that. We'll continue talking about the change with Gabe Gross making his way into the administration side of athletics. And then we will dive into the new hitting coach for the Auburn Tigers and how there's a whole lot of success, a whole lot of love. And easy said than done, making a trip over from Athens to Auburn. But when Coach Thompson and Butch Thompson is your head coach, makes things a little bit easier, especially when you played for him. We'll dive into that when we come back. 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
More minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He's Tripp Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on this Tuesday afternoon, and you would have thought that Terry was a paid sponsor by his perfect segue from the Home Run Derby into the home runs of college baseball, because that is where we go now. We mentioned it, and I'm sure you've seen it by now, but Gabe Gross taking a new position with the Auburn Tigers into Auburn Athletics. And again, I think that is a fantastic move for the Tigers. He will serve as the Auburn Athletics and a special assistant for athletics engagement. And you talk about the giant steps that Auburn has taken with fan engagement over the past handful of years. Again, we've spoken with many of those, Rhett Hobart being one of those leaders, talking about his team and everything that they are able to do, not only for pregame festivities, but for the overall fanfare, the overall fan engagement, and making sure that Plains Park, Neville Arena, Jordan-Hare Stadium are at tippity-top shape and ready to provide the very best experience beyond what happens on the diamond, on the hardwood, on the gridiron, whatever the case may be. But Gabe Gross made a statement saying, "My family and I have been incredibly blessed over the years by many things, but perhaps none more so than Auburn University and the game of baseball. It has been an incredible honor to serve as Auburn's hitting coach over the last 9 years, an experience that my entire family has cherished, but the time has come for me to transition into a different role for the Auburn Tigers." He talks about his teenagers, his kids growing up and wanting to take over that father role again, while still, again, being a big-time advocate, a big-time spokesperson for Auburn baseball. We talked a little bit about that yesterday with the MLB draft and how the guys that wore Auburn jerseys are now spokespersons into the minor leagues and hopefully into the major leagues, as well as some of the guys that were planning on coming to the Plains, that ultimately you cannot pass up those types of opportunities when you're getting first and second round dollars thrown at you. But again, the overall highlight of being spokespersons for the Auburn Tigers in so many different sports, you've now been able to do that. But again, with that new role, opened up a new role for the Auburn Tigers. And I don't know if there's a hire that could have excited more Auburn baseball fans than Coach Nick Amirati, as he joins Auburn baseball as an assistant coach. Tripp, what was one of the most, we'll stick to the SEC, I could go anywhere in college baseball, but is there a program that sticks out to you as being the most prolific hitting team in the SEC last year? Do they have like their own slogan, their own name? Do they have their own jokes about trees in the outfield?
I'm going to look eastward. Hot take, might be the Georgia Bulldogs.
I think that would be a pretty solid answer.
When you hit, I just had their stats pulled up. I'm pulling them back up. Hold on. All right. When you hit 318, you have 179 home runs.
Oh my gosh.
Your team OPS is over 1,000.
OPS is your on base plus slugging.
Yes.
So slugging, basically, how many times you get on base compounded with your extra base hits.
Yes. So basically, that is. That's pretty good.
Some would say that's very nice.
Very nice. And he has scored 600 runs, 127 doubles. That's again, those are all really good numbers. So if that team was in the SEC hitting and that's Georgia, I'd say they're pretty good.
I think I would agree with that. As again, we woke up to the news, or I guess some people woke up to the news. Some people have been awakened at work for hours.
I was here
while you were getting your beauty sleep. But Auburn baseball and head coach Butch Thompson announced again Tuesday morning the addition of Coach Nick Amirati, Coach Ammo, as everybody calls him, as the program's assistant coach and hitting coordinator. He says, quote, "This is an incredible opportunity to join a program with arguably more young talent than anyone in the country and help build on the momentum it has created over the last several years. Butch has been a mentor of mine, both up close and from afar, for 15 years now, and I'm ecstatic to rekindle that relationship and get to work with one of my best coaches, or one of the best coaches and men in our industry. My family and I are excited to get immersed in the Auburn family, and I can't wait to get to work with such a talented group of coaches, staff, and student athletes." And you want to talk about, we've made the jokes of, oh, it's a home run hire, it's a grand slam hire, it couldn't be better. But quite literally, when you look at a team's success offensively, you look at the Georgia Bulldogs. Shoot, you go back and you look at Kentucky from a couple of years ago. Oh, yeah. He was there from 2022 to 2024. And the bio that he has created for himself, the popularity, the success that he has for himself, I don't think that it will be too long until Coach Hamo becomes a head coach somewhere. And so the ability that Auburn is able to take him for the next couple of years, or take him for whenever, how long ever he's willing to stay, I think that is a humongous get for this Auburn Tiger team. And again, his success and his team's success has spoken for itself. The ability to develop and build a Golden Spikes winner and Daniel Jackson, I think, adds a pretty good resume to your name.
Yeah, looking at this, his stint in Kentucky, which is almost more impressive than his stint at Georgia, just given to where those programs, quote-unquote, are. He, in his first year on staff as a volunteer assistant coach, they went, they're a winning record, and they were not invited to the postseason. Okay, you know, maybe not great, but then they win. They host a regional and win said regional, finish in the top half of the eastern side of the SEC back when the East and West was still in baseball in 2023, if you can believe it. They had a winning record in the SEC, and then they followed that up the next year with a College World Series appearance at the University of Kentucky, going 1-2 while there. He was a part of the team that was the number three overall seed, only behind Tennessee in the Eastern Division. And I correct me if I'm wrong, Tennessee won the national championship that year?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. In 2024? Because it was Tennessee, LSU, now Oklahoma.
Yeah, and LSU won it twice.
But LSU won it before them as well. With the they lost to the eventual national champions LSU in the Baton Rouge Super Regional. So pretty good. And then he goes over to Athens and
becomes another three seed.
Yeah, and goes again. So if things are tracking, we might need to have a conversation about even year Coach Amo's offenses. Just saying, 2028, hang the banner already.
During the span, his offenses have led the league in both overall and in SEC play in numerous offensive categories, including batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, hits, runs, doubles, home runs, RBIs, total bases, and stolen bases. Because, again, he has been a major factor not only as a hitting coach, but, again, working with the base paths and working on getting stolen bases. And you saw what Georgia was able to do. A big reason why Daniel Jackson was able to win the Golden Spikes, not because of his average, or I guess I should say, not only because of his average, not only because of his power, but his ability to steal bases as a catcher as well. It all speaks for himself. And I think one thing that should be some of the most exciting news in terms of, especially with the talent that was lost, and yes, you lost a lot of it in the MLB draft from the mound, but you've already reloaded at least a lot of that. I think we talked with Jack Hudden yesterday with Auburn Baseball Analytics and of the Auburn High Sports Network, and a lot of that information he talked about still wanting maybe an arm or two, yet you feel very confident with the returners on the mound, with the bullpen, and so you just needed to really piece together a couple of guys, and the lineup brings a whole lot of success in there as well. Yet, he has mentored nine hitters who heard their name called in the top 10 rounds of the MLB draft just since 2024 alone, and he is very involved in the transfer portal with his previous two programs. Coach Amirati has been has been very instrumental in bringing five straight top 10 portal classes, including Georgia's last year, which ranks number one in the entire country.
And you saw the dividends it paid out with that lineup. I mean, just ferocious. There was not a batter where you could go, okay, breathe. Maybe we bring someone else in, you know, or hey, this is a guy, we can go another out.
Yeah, we can go batter by batter, hope to get this out. There was no red Sharpie that you could circle batters 8 and 9 or batters 4 and 5 that are going through a slump of, okay, this is where we can get out.
No, it was every single person, and I think that is going to bring such a big piece to what this team is trying to do next season. And you jokingly said it before we went on air of the idea that, hey, you know, he's at a spot where, wait, we have to win every game 11-12. Wait, we need to go and score double-digit runs if we want to be comfortable. And it's, wait, I can score seven and go from the number four national seed to the runaway favorite to win a title.
Look at it from the Auburn football perspective of what Auburn's defense has had to go through of, holy cow, you're telling me if I give up more than 20 points, I'm going to lose a football game because the offense has been that poor? By no means making that comparison to Auburn baseball, but just from the overall mindset of when Coach Ammo was at Georgia and even at Kentucky, you're now at the point of, man, it makes your job a little bit easier. Imagine there, we talked with Coach Jacob Osmond when he was the defensive coordinator for Lee Scott Academy, and I made a couple of jokes with him last year of, what does it look like for you when an offense has success? And he says, there is nobody in the country that will cheer for an offense more than a defensive coordinator, because that makes my job that much easier. It takes that much stress off of our lives, and it makes it to where you just have that much more enjoyment because you just get to go out and play freely because, okay, your offense scores a touchdown and you know they're going to have a whole lot of success that game. Makes it a little bit easier. Not by no means am I going to say a lot easier, but it makes it easier on the defense because, okay, you know your offense is going to give you points. Look at it from this side of things. It's the exact opposite of Coach Ammo's going, holy cow, you're telling me 18 times last year this offense scored three or fewer runs and you still were able to put that kind of resume on the board? You are still able to score that many runs and win that many games by scoring three runs in 18 games? You're telling me if I score five runs, if I score three more runs in those games, we win 12 of them, we win 14 of them, we win that many more games? Imagine how much easier that job looks for Coach Ammo when you have the dominance that Coach Everett Tiefer brings to the pitcher's mound, as well as Coach Butch Thompson, who, again, both bring that pitching mentality to the Tigers, and you've seen that success.
Yeah, and you're going to see Coach Thompson really be able to, okay, I don't have to tinker with this. You just go be the head coach of the defense or the hitting. Let me and Coach Tiefer really focus on this room, and as well as in the transfer portal, you said it earlier with top portal classes, Auburn still with some quote-unquote holes, I'd say. I wouldn't say that they're massive, but they definitely could be improved. You let him go out there and go get his guys, he can make something happen for sure.
What was the OPS for Georgia? Over 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of text.
It's like 1.09, I want to say.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty solid. We got a text from Right Hand Salutes, Mr. President Eric, who we are very, very excited to drop some news here in the next few days. He mentions with Georgia's OPS, Ha-Seong Kim for the Braves, his OPS is 230, and Austin Riley's is 617, so you could combine those two.
To get Georgia's offense.
To get almost what Georgia's team offense is.
Which you have to remember that's an average. That's not those are two average.
That's not Daniel Jackson. That's not Colby Branch. That's not the two
because they also
top guys.
And they also, because that also factors in the guys that are slumping for Georgia standards, which probably are closer to like 600, 700 OPS. But yeah, you look at Ha-Seong Kim. You need five Ha-Seong Kims added together to get the average of Georgia's lineup. Imagine if they had that at Auburn with the pitching success with Andres Alvarez coming back, Jake Marciano coming back, Jackson Sanders being in a bigger role, and anyone they decide to bring in the transfer portal or out of the high school ranks. I would not want to be a team that has to face that team, just being honest.
And then you bring the already proven success of a Chase Frelick, of a Brandon McCrane, of a Mason McCrane, of a Bub Terrell.
Yeah, tighten up the issues of a Bub Terrell or maybe develop a guy into a more consistent hitter like a Cade Ballou or a Taylor Belza.
And then you bring him, there's Ethan Bingaman.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of excitement.
I mean, that's more pop than a bag of Pop Rocks right there. You know, maybe that needs to be, instead of the Sour Power, it's Pop Rocks or something. We could make something work. No free ads. I don't really want to say the unnamed candy because everyone knows what I'm talking about. But I think that could be something really, really cool to watch in the near future.
Yeah, again, I think there's A whole lot of excitement for not only the War Eagle wall, not only the scoreboard, not only the batter's eye, not only the back 40, and whatever, if there's any possibilities of putting more railings up on the Josh Donaldson hitting complex as well. I know they did that for the Super Regional 2 years ago, and I know there were possible plans in the works for that. But if history follows Coach Ammo, there's a lot of ammunition that may be working its way beyond the walls at Plainsman Park, which my coach used to say hitting home runs was a mistake, was an accident. And you shouldn't if you ever did that, that means you didn't square the ball up correctly. But
your coach said that?
That is when we were not like high school.
Okay, I was going to say, how old, is this a like?
I think it was much more of the when you're 12 years old, don't
swing
dip
out your
and
shoes.
Drive and I don't need a 43-degree launch angle, which I understood it back then, and maybe I took that too much to heart, considering I'm here now. Maybe I just need Coach Ammo to take me to the batting cage and get me worked up, and, hey, Coach, I still got—
First radio show host to start in the major leagues.
Coach, I still got 2 years of eligibility if I need it. Just
hey, five for five.
I got 3 years, Coach.
Well, no, I think because it starts when you're high school graduation. I think you might be—
Oh, that's right. I'm too old. Dang it.
You could be grandfathered in.
I could be grandfathered in.
You could teach me. Hey, we can.
I could be a 28-year-old left bench player for the Auburn Tigers.
Hey, everyone needs Guillermo Heredia.
Everybody needs the glue guy, and that's me,
Christian,
right there. Baby.
Christian Glue Guy Griffin. Boom. T-shirt.
Book it. Put it on a jersey.
Put it on a jersey.
Make me look like the Bat Boy. says Glue Guy. And whatever number you want to give me. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for being a part of the show, man. A lot of engagement, and this is exactly what we love having. And whether that's the text box, whether that is the phone lines, both. We're very, very active here this afternoon, being able to dive into a lot of the SEC Media Day conversations, as well as a lot of this baseball stuff as well, which you know that we are very, very excited for. And shout out Mr. Trey Lee, who's over here sending me Auburn jerseys with Glue Guy on the front and the back. Of course, at first I thought it was just because he works at Lee Scott around high schoolers that he put me as number 67, but then I realized that's kind of the radio station. But please, any other number. I say it too often, and the amount of laughs that we get daily, we understand.
We get it.
We understand the pain, but he made one of, like, animated me. And like,
oh, my goodness.
It's actually kind of cool.
Nice. Why does it says Opelika instead of Auburn on there?
Yeah.
No,
Trey.
No, I love it, Trey. Keep up the good work, please. Anything like that, please send my way as well.
No, I don't need blackmail. I don't need memes posted about me when whatever something goes right or wrong with any sort of broadcast. Do not need that in our life. He's already stocking up on just about all of our pictures, and so not looking forward to that side of things. But we are looking forward to a fantastic remainder of the week. We had we mentioned the Home Run Derby last night, which I guess we didn't get our true thoughts out there. I was a big time fan from the standpoint of the new rules and making it to where it's not outs, it's not just timed, it's not untimed like it used to be, because back then you were perfectly fine watching somebody stand in the left-handed batter's box for 24 minutes and take six pitches in between every single swing. But now you have it to where it's locked down, number of swings, mano-a-mano, and a really, really cool environment. Man, you were locked in, and is there anybody cooler on the planet right now than Jordan Walker, who stepped into Philadelphia, into the Philly Stadium, into Citizens Bank Park after Kyle Schwarber had already hit 10? And Jordan Walker
hits 11
down to his final swing for, what, the final four or the final three. He tied it with his third, won it on his fourth, and was getting booed the entire time. Every time he did not hit a home run, the crowd lost its absolute mind. The fact that he was able to play the villain over the hometown Kyle Schwarber and the Phillies, maybe that just makes my heart that much happier.
Yeah, I hope, but hopefully he can give Spencer Strider some tips about how to compete in Philadelphia.
Yeah, just whatever the case may be. But the All-Star game tonight, and it would be wrong of me to not shout out my boy Brandon Marsh. Again, a long time friend, long time buddy. Played high school ball with him and I've known him for quite some time. Again, the starting center fielder for the Phillies, and is batting seventh tonight, starting in the All-Star game. And so really, really cool to see that. Was able to see some pictures of him walking along the red carpet with him, his sister Erin, who again we know quite well, and his mom Miss Sonia. And so shout out to all of them. Really, really cool moment, at least personally, and it's bittersweet to see him have so much success on the Phillies. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. We're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Sports, as always, and especially today, are so much better with an opinion, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.